Welcome back to the podcast. Today, the Yangwang U9 Extreme Track Record, BYD's K-Car, and China's average NEV price drops. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you about a war blowing up between China and the Netherlands about chips. Welcome to EV News China, the podcast dedicated to the world's largest electric vehicle market. Each day, I bring you the latest headlines, insights, and analysis from the heart of China's booming EV industry and decode how fast-moving developments in the East are shaping the global EV landscape. Let's start with news of BYD's Yangwang brand and the U9 Extreme recorded a Nürburgring Nordschleife lap record of 6 minutes and 59.157 seconds. The first production electric vehicle lap under 7 minutes. Just. And the fastest production EV time at the entire circuit. The certification on the production car leaderboard confirms the model's dual first status for lap time and top speed. The latter measured at 496.22 kilometers an hour, making it the fastest global production supercar and exceeding the previous production EV Nordschleife benchmark by 5 seconds. Yangwang executive He Xiaoqing said that the official listing follows a private track session. Now, this happened on October the 10th when there was some really bad weather and that constrained the high-speed window. The team managed just one flying lap. The drivers hadn't used the U9 Extreme for almost a month since September 18th. It was their first track session in 22 days. They jumped in it and set a brand new record. This thing is a weapon. Staying with BYD, at the other end of the scale from the world's fastest car is one of the world's smallest cars. Japan has a category of car called K-Car, and BYD posted a preview on its Japanese website of its first K-Car, confirming it'll appear at the Japan Mobility Show 2025, October 30th. The site included a side-view image with proportions and styling. K-Cars in Japan are small cars. It's a category for narrow roads, under 3.4 metres long, less than 1.48 metres wide, and limited to 64 horsepower. They get incentives like lower purchase taxes and are often chosen as second cars by urban families. The European Union are looking at doing something similar to incentivize a small EV category here. Now, local media reported that BYD's K-Car, which they were stylizing as K-Car, C-A-R, whereas it's K-E-I car. It may use a 20 kilowatt hour battery pack. And look, that's the size of my first Renault Zoe almost like 10 years ago. So that's absolutely fine. 180 kilometers on the WLTC cycle at least. And so we'll find out more about that soon. China's NEV average price dropped to just over $20,000. 158,000 RMB is now the average price of a new energy vehicle in China in September. Dipping below 160,000 for the first time, this continues a downward trend of the average price of a new energy vehicle, NEV, in China, so it's got a plug socket on, of 171,000 last year, 184,000 the year before in 2023. More people are buying more smaller micro cars in China. Subcompact cars as well, bringing the average price down. China's NEV production and sales hit records. China's EV production hit a high in September. 1.62 million units produced, 1.60 million units sold. September production rose 23.7% year on year, and sales rose 24.6% year on year. For the first 9 months of the year, they made 11.24 million EVs in China, up 35% year on year, and they've sold 11.23, about the same. It's 11 million they've sold so far. The exports, a huge story in China. So many of the big names in China know they have to keep growing at a breakneck speed, and the best way to do that is overseas. EV exports in September, 100% up compared to the same month last year. And from January to September, first 9 months of the year, exports from China have been 1.76 million EVs. China's EV charging network also growing. EV charging network in China reached 18.06 million units able to dispense electricity in the end of September. That's up 54% from the same time last year. Public charging was 4.48 million units, up 40%. Private chargers also counted in this, up 60%. So people are installing more chargers at home than they are putting public chargers in. That's up 60% to 14 million units. in the first 9 months of the year. We also saw big infrastructure growth in China and China's EV battery output. We got a bunch of September data coming in today, can you tell? And China's power battery production reached 1,122 gigawatt hours in the first 9 months of the year, 44% up on the same time last year. Honestly, we thought we were seeing China start to slow down in 2025. We thought we were seeing China mature and those massive growth figures, you know, come back at least into double digits. These are huge growth numbers. Again, September production of power batteries was 151 gigawatt hours. That's 50% up on September last year. Through 9 months, 44% of total battery output was installed into vehicles, and ternary 39%, LFP 46% in September, which is the highest monthly installation proportion to date. China is also going to push investment into advanced manufacturing of things like electric vehicles and connected vehicles in its next Communist Party plan. Leaders of the party will shape their 15th five-year plan. They're still a fan of their five-year plans in China. Amid, well, technology and trade frictions, the party central committee will begin outlining the 15th plan during the four-day fourth plenum, and is likely to stress boosting domestic consumption of electric vehicles. Under the current 14th five-year plan, which ends this year, industrial policies and subsidies have been driving advances in electric vehicles, challenging the established industries in Europe and the US. Beijing signals it will repeat the state-led approach for Plan 15, due to be published next March, with government investment in cutting-edge technologies as President Xi Jinping seeks industrial and technological self-reliance away from any kind of US-led economies. Great Wall Motor, GWM, has opened pre-sales for a refreshed Tank 400. Now, the Tank is a hybrid SUV offered as the existing Hi4T. The new Hi4Z being priced from 310,000 RMB. So this is quite premium vehicles, actually. Introduced a couple of years ago, September 2023, the Tank 400 launched as a hardcore off-road vehicle. That was the Hi4T. The Hi4Z targets urban buyers, so not as much off-road capability, while introducing Great Wall Motor's new powertrain, which increases, they say, more off-road ability than a typical urban SUV, as it without using a mechanical four-wheel drive. The Hi4T uses a single electric motor and a peak output of 130 kilowatts. The Hi4Z, the new one, is almost 3,000 kilograms curb weight, but it uses dual electric motors, 635 kilowatts. Both variants, though, use battery packs, the range extenders, of either 37 or 59 kilowatt hours for up to 200 kilometers of electric-only range. Now, the MG4 is a very popular vehicle outside of China, very popular here in the UK, for instance. The MG4 has had incredible reviews from the motoring press for what is an incredible chassis, a great rear-wheel drive, driver's car, makes you smile. The MG4 holds its own against particularly the hot versions. They do an X-Power version. Just ridiculously good for the money. Until China decided to completely redesign the MG4. The new MG4 in China, which we'll eventually get Australia and right-hand drive markets like the UK and Europe as well, is entirely different. But it's also going to be a lot cheaper, but there's many more compromises. They've gone front-wheel drive. They've not tuned it for handling. All the decisions seem to be based around cutting the cost rather than what it had a great reputation for already. So we'll see how that goes down when it arrives here, but a while to go yet until that happens. For now, it's only in China. MG started deliveries of the MG4 Smart Edition in China, but it now comes with a CATL battery. They say this enabled them to get the deliveries out on time. MG's general manager, Chen Chui, said the switch from the originally planned batteries to CATL was made to meet delivery targets in October. All Smart Edition MG4s will now come with CATL packs, targeting a sub 100,000 yuan price segment. That's $14,000 for a car with a CLT range of 530 kilometers. Very advanced driving assistance, by the way. And the interior of the new MG, I think, looks fantastic. Not that the old one looked bad, by the way, but I think the inside looks very nice, quite sleek and simple. clearly they've cut some costs, you know, somewhere. But it's not an evolution of the existing car. When the MG4 arrives overseas, it's going to be a very different car, I think, for a lot of people. It was introduced in August in China. It had rapid sales growth there because they're aiming for lower price points. And look, most people don't drive their cars on windy B roads and spirited driving. Most people just want safe, reliable, comfortable transport to go from A to B. So you kind of understand the decision that's been made there. Had 12,000 deliveries in September in China. It was launched at the Chengdu Auto Show a couple of months ago, built on SAIC's E3 Pure electric platform. The vehicle actually starts, not the one we were just talking about, we talked about the first edition a minute ago with the CAT LPAC. You can get that down to $9,000. Let's talk Imoda. And the Imoda 4, a compact SUV with electric powertrains to compete with cars outside of China like the Kia EV3, Renault 4 and Volvo EX30, debuting at what is the Chery User Summit, which would otherwise seem as a pretty dry event maybe, but unveiling the car there. And they had a mix of sci-fi characters on hand, cocktail mixologists, body art. It was a curious event. And they didn't even unveil the full specs, but observers will expect a B-segment SUV to use the T1X platform that's shared with the Omoda 5. Now, the Omoda 5, not the Omoda 4, which we're talking about, the 5 is a front axle motor, 61 kilowatt hour pack, 267 miles of range. The Omoda 4, I think, is a cracking looking vehicle. Very Toyota at the front, almost like they've designed it with only a ruler at hand. They called it a cyber mecha design philosophy. So geometric surfaces, robotics-inspired details, a blocky exterior. Oh, think a bit Lotus Electra. Oh, or if in your mind's eye, Lamborghini Urus. So, big Snapdragon 2.5K center display, slim digital instrument cluster. They even put an engine stop-start button under a red cage, like a pilot-style cage, or like you get on a supercar. So lift up the little flap and then press the start. Okay. Imoda says the 4 will go on sale overseas, for example, in the United Kingdom in 2026. Pricing not known, but it'll be around £25,000. That's about £8,000 less than the Imoda 5 and would... It's sort of its Jakku cousin, if you like. That would put it in line with that. We'll take a break. We'll come back and a couple more stories on AV News China. Stick around. Welcome back to the podcast. Right, a couple of stories to finish us off. On October the 20th, 2 days ago, Dongfeng Motor said on its official WeChat account, it is advancing solid-state battery R&D and industrial deployment, reporting a series of breakthroughs and a fully self-controlled supply chain. Dongfeng said it has mastered its core technologies, the electrolytes, the separators, and in-situ solidification, and developed solid-state battery cells up to 350 watt-hours per kilogram. They say that unlocks 1,000 kilometers of range, 600 miles. The company adds that these cells meet top safety standards and have passed the national benchmark. Puncture testing, 50% compression deformation testing, and a 150 degrees Celsius thermal chamber testing. Next year, we have some really strict rules coming in China over battery safety. And a lot of these announcements that are being made about batteries this year, whether it's a new car being launched or a new technology being talked about, many of the companies are wisely getting ahead of the game and saying, oh, we already meet all of the future regulations around battery safety and getting out ahead of those things. And finally, this is a fascinating story about a war breaking out between the Chinese and overseas owners, if you want to call it that, over chips. Now, the company is called Nexperia. Nexperia's based in both China and the Netherlands. Nexperia's China unit has told staff in Europe to completely ignore any direction that comes from the Netherlands headquarters, and instead, you must follow all domestic management instructions, saying it will, and I quote, operate and make decisions independently as a Chinese enterprise, end quote. This move follows the Dutch government taking management control of the chipmaker earlier this month. The seizure came after US warnings that Nexperia would remain on the export control lists if its Chinese CEO were to stay in charge. Beijing blocked most of the chipmaker's final products from leaving China. Nexperia, the Netherlands-based producer of basic integrated circuits used in automotive electronic systems, lighting, airbags, door locks, window mechanisms, the rest, was sold to a Chinese consortium back in 2017 and later acquired by Wingtech. On the ground, the situation is described by sources, not named sources, but one person says the situation is currently chaotic. We are in great internal disorder right now, and the situation is very unclear, said one employee, not wanting to be named. Chinese Commerce Ministry restrictions on outbound shipments are now affecting the automotive supply chain outside of China, and some European automakers are said to be revisiting and dusting off the old COVID-era playbook. What did we do when supply chains were messed up? As they are now preparing for a potential chip shortage for electric vehicles, at least in the short term. Fascinating stuff. That's your podcast for today. See you on the next one.